This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Taglier. You can follow us on Twitter at BobbyFantasyPro and at Mike Taglier NFL. Tags, how's it going, man?
It's going good. It's going very good. I had a question for the followers of the show. We actually got a new dog, and we named him Mitch, but it came down to like Mitch or Mac, for obvious reasons. And do you guys think Mitch will work? Do you think Mac's better? That's a question I want you guys to let me know on Twitter.
Okay. Yeah, well, I know that it's after Mitch Trubisky. I don't know how long he's actually going to be the Bears quarterback, Tag, so we'll see about that.
Oh, stop it.
I'm just messing with you, man. Our guest today is Matthew Hill of Data Force Fantasy Football, and he's on Twitter at MRHill9169. Matthew, thank you for taking the time to come on our show.
Thank you for inviting me. Glad to be here.
So, Matthew, what do you think about Mitch Trubisky? Do you think that he is kind of like a Cam Newton light, or do you think he's not exactly a long-term franchise quarterback?
I think it's, you know what you're getting with him. He's always got the running factor. I think those weapons are starting to build around him, too. I actually had him in a couple dynasty leagues, one that I'm a real good contender in, that I actually drafted Murray just to kind of cover because I like the upside of Murray. But, you know, I was quite content with him. But then when I got to my 10th pick, I grabbed Murray. But he definitely is somebody that's going to get you a high floor every week because of the upside, and then because of the running, and then the upside of the targets coming in.
I'll tell you what, I love using him in GPP for DFS because he's got that chance at 35 fantasy points, which a lot of other guys don't have that upside because he can run for 80 yards, score a touchdown with his feet, plus pass the ball quite a bit. So guys, here's what we got planned for today's show. We do have one piece of news to talk about, and then I've got a game for us to do, just a really quick one. And then we're going to get into running back rankings, and we're going to look at the expert consensus so far, and we're going to, you know, trade back and forth telling people who we think are low on the expert rankings and who is too high at this point. Before we get into all that, though, I want to talk about the sponsor of today's show, PristineAuction.com. And we are giving away a signed Juju Smith-Schuster helmet thanks to PristineAuction.com. You can go sign up for that. It takes about 30 seconds at FantasyPros.com/contest. And then PristineAuction.com. Tags, why don't you tell them, when you go, what exactly are you looking for? Do you have something in mind every time, or are you just shopping to see what kind of value's out there?
Well, me, it's nothing in particular outside of helmets. So I just type in full helmet because basically that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a full-size NFL helmet, and I just kind of shop through the teams. Like, as you guys know, I've collected 8 of 32 teams right now. So I'm just kind of, I kind of shop through and I look for the best values. And sometimes you find guys that are like way down there. Like, I had a Sammy Watkins helmet that I got for like, it was like $110 before. But there's some great values at this time in the off season. So I definitely say to go and shop around. Me personally, I just look for the full size helmets.
Speaking of great values, by the way, I saw an Earl Campbell full size helmet went for under $100. How does that happen?
You can buy a helmet like that. They're $100 for the helmet. Like, and then getting a signature on top of it. That's what I'm saying is like
from one of the best running backs of all time. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. That's nuts.
I really like the ones from like movies too. Like the Rudy helmet. And I saw a Jamie Foxx signed Miami Sharks helmet from Any Given Sunday. I thought that was pretty cool. It's actually still up for bid. So maybe I'll actually put a bid on that bad boy and take it home. Anyway, check out what Pristine Auction has for you. They've got some great values. If you want to spend up, they've got crazy options there too. Like, you wouldn't believe some of the stuff they have. No matter who your team is, they have something for everybody, and everything's guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources. That's Pristine. Okay, guys, so we do need to talk about this news with Ezekiel Elliott apparently getting handcuffed. I mean, I guess we don't know a ton of details yet, but does this seem like something we should be concerned about, Tags?
I saw the video of what happened, and it's no big deal. Ezekiel Elliott's not getting suspended.
Can you enlighten us? Because I have no idea what actually happened. All I know is he was in handcuffs.
Yeah, so he went to an electronic music festival, and he basically was like just talking with a guy, and the guy apparently said something, and Ezekiel Elliott got in his face. He's like, "What, you want to say something?" And he basically like chest bumped him, and the dude just fell into like a gate, and then he like fell down. So it might have been over exaggerated on that guy's part, but it was a chest bump. That is not assault. He was put in handcuffs, but he was not arrested. So Ezekiel Elliott is not getting suspended. Do not let this affect anything.
Matthew, does it worry you whatsoever?
I think the video is worth watching, and I think that a chest bump is maybe even a little generous. It's more like a little chest nudge.
Okay, that makes me feel a lot better.
Just a little nudge, and the guy flopped big time.
So not much in the way of news. It's just, it's a slow news week, and we're in the middle of the offseason, so there's not a ton that happens. But I do have a game for us before we get into this. It's called Name That Player. You guys have heard it before. So let's just start it off. First one of you two to name the player is the winner. This quarterback's team has never had a losing record when he plays at least 11 games. This year, he's going to pass Joe Montana and Johnny Unitas in career passing yards. He already passed Steve Young and Troy Aikman, and he's only 34 years old.
Oh, wait, hold on a second.
He has more touchdowns.
Aaron Rodgers?
It's not Aaron Rodgers. He has more touchdowns than Terry Bradshaw and Joe Namath, and a low interception rate than, hear this, every single Hall of Fame quarterback.
Matt Ryan.
No. He also has a Super Bowl MVP. Are you guys ready for this?
I got nothing.
I'm the winner since I stumped you guys. This is just another championship for me. Sorry, Tags. Joe Flacco. Can you believe that?
This was the worst trivia of all time, Bobby.
I just wanted to clarify a point here. Everyone's talking about all these quarterbacks and all the counting stats that they've been putting up, and then they just completely disregard the era that a quarterback plays in. Guys, Joe Flacco has been better in terms of counting stats and interception rate than so many of these Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And has he ever been a top 15 quarterback in the NFL? It is just the era. You can't use counting stats when comparing people within eras. I just think that this goes to show that.
It's like in any sport, I tell people you can't compare people from different eras just because it's impossible to do. Like, you know, when people talk about Jordan and LeBron.
Well, I mean, you can. You just have to compare them to people in their era. So when you say, well, Big Ben's, you know, top five all time in passing yards. Well, so what? He played in an era where everyone's passing the ball 650 times a season.
Right. He won't be there for very long. Like, the question is it's all a Hall of Fame debate, and I know what you're getting at here, and I'm with you, Bobby, is I think it should be the Hall of the Elite, like the guys that are the best of the best. If you're putting together an all-time team, these are the guys that you'd want on it. And is Ben Roethlisberger a top five quarterback of this era? And that's the question you have to ask in order to get into the Hall of Fame. And he's playing in an era with some dominant quarterbacks, so.
Yeah, but there's always been dominant quarterbacks. And if you're not in the top five, you're never elite. I mean, just because you've got a few of the greatest of all time, just in terms of the counting stats, I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that if Johnny Unitas had played in this era, he wouldn't have destroyed these records.
Right. Dan Marino, those guys. Yeah. Like, I 100% I agree with you in that. And that's what I'm saying. But it's the Hall of Fame debate on whether or not the Hall of really, really, really good or the Hall of elite all time greats. And I, you know, that's a conversation that I'm not trying to rub anybody the wrong way.
Yeah. I don't know. People get pretty fired up about the Hall of Fame debates. I just thought it was really interesting because as I'm saying this, everyone's like, well, man, that's a surefire Hall of Famer. I don't think that Joe Flacco is going to get any consideration whatsoever.
No, definitely not.
All right, guys, let's jump right into it. We're talking running back rankings today, and we're going to start with players that the expert consensus we think are too low. So, Matthew, why don't you go ahead and start us off with one running back, and we'll circle back around to you for one or two more.
All right, so I'll start off with probably the most polarizing guy on my list. So I'm going to start off with Damian Williams. I have him at 11, and the ECR is at 16. And I think what's keeping that ECR and ADP, if you go to any site, so low, he's kind of been hanging out in the third round and even hasn't really bumped up even after the draft, is just these perceived threats that people have for, you know, his workload. But I think if you look back, you think that Damian Williams is a small sample size. It's true, but he wasn't just okay weeks 14 through 16. He was a league winner. I mean, he was the number three running back overall weeks 14 through 16, had 74 PPR points, was a difference maker. If you played DFS in the playoffs, he probably won you some money. And then the offseason, there was no major additions. I mean, yes, Carlos Hyde's there, which I'll probably talk about a little later with some guys that I'm lower on, but he's there for 1 year. His yards per carry has just been dropping each of the last 3 years. They drafted Darwin Thompson, but he's a sixth rounder. And even him, people are getting a little bit of buzz on him, but he's smaller, 198 versus 222. He doesn't have the same speed. He's a 4.6 guy versus a 4.45 for Damian Williams. Williams is already produced in the system. Darwin Thompson maybe looks better with a shirt off. That's been kind of on Twitter as well, some Darwin Thompson bodybuilder pictures. But everything I'm seeing is pointing to him being first crack at the starters carry. I think that's the narrative that's being pushed out of Kansas City, and I'm buying into it. And I know not everyone is, but as long as that's the case, then I'll happily get him in the third round, and hopefully his ADP kind of stays around that 2-3 turn, and I will happily snatch him up.
So this is interesting. This is going to be a little bit fiery right away, because Tags and I both disagree with this one. We're a lot higher on Carlos Hyde. Tags, why don't you start us off? I've got some numbers I'm going to crunch really quick.
Yeah, so I have Damian Williams right in line with ECR. I feel like he is someone that it's basically, you know, the risk is built into his price. If we knew that Damian Williams was going to be the starting running back all season long, I'd have him ranked in my top 10. You know, Andy Reid running backs, it's no coincidence that people that play the running back position under Andy Reid always finish, you know, RB1s. You go through Charcandrick West, you go through Spencer Ware. Obviously, Jamal Charles was a great talent, but now you're going into Damian Williams. It's a very replaceable position in Andy Reid's offense. And here's the reason that I'm having trouble going all in on Damian Williams. He did look fantastic last year. At the end of the year, he looked fantastic in the playoffs. I'm not going to discount that. But here's the reason that I'm always hesitant is that if we were to go back a year ago today and say Andy Reid is losing Spencer Ware, he's losing Kareem Hunt, you have your choice between Damian Williams and Carlos Hyde. Which running back do you want in his offense? And everyone, and if you say Damian Williams, I mean, you are in the 1%. I mean, I don't even know if there would have been 1%, but Carlos Hyde would have been viewed as the guy. Now, granted, he struggled in Jacksonville. What running back hasn't? In Cleveland, he played under Hugh Jackson. He never played under Freddie Kitchens. He was traded away before then. So we all know that Hugh Jackson didn't get the most out of his players. That's Hugh Jackson was. So I don't want to write off Carlos Hyde, someone who looked promising in his San Francisco years, just because we saw a flash of Damian Williams. This is still a guy. He has never had a regular season game finish with more than 13 carries. I don't know if he could handle that workload. Darwin Thompson, I don't think he's the worry here. I think the worry is Carlos Hyde. You know, they signed him to just a one-year deal. They did extend Damian Williams. So I'm giving Williams the nod, and that's why I have him at RB16 and not Carlos Hyde. But I think that there's enough risk built in to where he needs to fall into that middling RB2 range in order to justify selecting him. I went by half PPR. It's like the middling between the two. And Damian Williams is at 16 there. ADP is actually his RB15. So yeah, I'm pretty much median on him. Like I'm not saying that you shouldn't draft him. I'm just saying understand the risk with him as well.
Yeah, I've got Damian Williams quite a bit lower. And I totally agree with the upside. Absolutely. If Damian Williams, if we know he's the starter and I'm doing my draft after that, yeah, I'm taking Damian Williams in the top 10. But right now I think it's about maybe 55-45. I think Williams is the favorite. He's the man with the job right now, but I don't know how long it's going to last. I've got Williams down at 22. I've got Carlos Hyde up at 29. You know, Damian Williams was great in the last 3 weeks, but a lot of it was touchdown driven. And granted, that's going to happen in Kansas City's offense, but I'm not so sure he's, you know, going to compile a ton of yards. I think he's really limited to about 14, 15 touches a week, even if he is the starter. So I don't think he can be a top five running back. Carlos Hyde in that Kansas City offense, I think that could happen.
I think Williams' upside might be actually higher because he's a better pass catcher than Hyde. That part I won't disagree with. But Matthew, okay. I just want to hear, I'd love to hear your take on this because
I just think it's a volume thing. I think Williams, his max is 16, 17 touches. Hyde, he could give him the ball 25 times.
Yeah, he's definitely a workhorse. But Matt, can we go back and touch on that about like if it were this time last year and you were asked to pick a running back to go and play for Andy Reid, you know, you yourself probably would have chosen Carlos Hyde. Now, obviously we've seen something from Damian Williams.
We hadn't seen Williams play yet.
Right. I mean, well, in Miami we did, but he was more of like that third down back, someone that everybody viewed as kind of like a timeshare running back. And, you know, Matt, what would you have said last year? You know, like, are you with me on that? Do you understand the concern?
I mean, it's kind of hard to go back a year just because, like you're saying, he was not producing in Jacksonville. So he's in the middle of a season where he ended up with 3.3 yards per carry. I mean, that's horrendous. But even going back to San Francisco days, it's still 2016 and you're looking at 4.6 yards per carry. Then it's 3.9 last year. And yes, I mean, he is on his fourth team in 2 years. So I think any back that's really performing well isn't going to be bounced around quite that much. So there is definitely a whole lot of unknown. And even going down as far as 22, like you're saying on your ranks, it's definitely fair. But I think that 11 where I'm at right now is still fairly fluid because it's May. But I could definitely see him sliding down, have Thompson being a bigger threat or have Hyde perform well this preseason. But I think where he's at right now, I'm happy to get him the third. I could even see him sliding up, maybe even top 7 or 8 if things really look well this preseason. So there's room to move up and move down, certainly, but I kind of like where he's at right now at 11. I like his potential.
So with him at 11, are you bumping Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Leonard Fournette out below him?
I have Cook right below him at 13.
For me, I'm going to go next tags. Dalvin Cook is my guy that's a little bit too low. I'm looking at his ACR and ADP right now when he's sitting at 12. And I understand because there's been, you know, last year wasn't all that great just in terms of, you know, pure counting numbers for the fantasy stats. But when he did play, he was among the most efficient running backs in all of football. And their offensive line needed a lot of help. Now, they did address that a little bit this offseason. And I think that with Latavius Murray gone, now granted, they did bring in some guys. You know, they've still got Mike Boone back there. I know you like Alex Mattison, who they reached for a little bit in the draft. But I think this is finally Dalvin Cook's backfield. He's going to be unleashed this year. He's not recovering from a big injury. And granted, yeah, he is a little bit more injury prone than I would like out of my RB1. But I think he's got the upside to be a top four fantasy football running back. We've seen him in a workhorse role. He was awesome. He can catch passes and he's extremely efficient. He makes people miss more per touch than any other running back in the NFL. So I'm a big buyer of Dalvin Cook this year. I've got him in my top 10 easy.
I don't have him in my top 10. I have it RB13. So I'm pretty much in line with the consensus on him as well. He's not someone I'm high or low on, like understand the risk. I think he's someone ideal. Like him and Aaron Jones are guys that are ideal to have as your RB2. Like that's how I feel about those guys, where it's like, if you walk in with them as your RB1, I don't know if I feel great about it. I don't think you should feel bad about Dalvin Cook. I have him ahead of Aaron Jones, but it's like that team, they brought in Kirk Cousins for a reason. You know, Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs are going to limit the amount of passes that he's going to catch. You know, is Kyle Rudolph cut? That would clear up some things because Irv Smith is not going to walk into, you know, 90 targets in a season. So it's, you start to wonder, it's like this defense is pretty elite. They still have a lot of talent in that defense. The offensive line, they did add a piece to it, but you know, does that mesh together well? You know, Kevin Stefanski is the offensive coordinator. Do we really believe in him? There's just a lot of questions about Dalvin Cook, whereas like the guys that I have ranked above him, I have fewer question marks about, and maybe they may have shown the more ability to stay healthy, you know, throughout a full season, because we haven't really seen that on Dalvin Cook and whether or not he'd be as efficient if he did play a full season. So there's question marks, but he's that borderline RB1, RB2 player. And if you have him as your RB2, you're extremely happy.
Yeah, I'd love it. Okay, so who do you have as your first running back? The ECR is a little bit too low on.
Mine's Leonard Fournette. I mean, Leonard Fournette is the RB14 in ECR, and he's being drafted as the number 19 running back, which just blows my mind.
Number 19? Are you kidding me?
That's where he's going in ADP right now. People are just so low on Leonard Fournette. I'm sure it's because, remember what happened most recently, right? But if you go through and you look at 2018, like, Leonard Fournette, when he was on the field, like he produced except for the end of the season. There were a few games at the end of the year where he was benched at halftime because Doug Marrone apparently wanted to see, you know, a 4-string running back on the field. Like, I think it was a disciplinary thing. He had some off the field stuff that he was working through. The offensive line was missing 4 of their 5 starters, but Leonard Fournette still, he produced RB2 or better numbers in half of his games, which was just as good as Nick Chubb did, better than Jordan Howard, better than Kenyon Drake. But, you know, like, that's what people are comparing him to. Like, that's the range he's falling into now. And, like, people are, do we go with him or do we go with them? The offensive line has been built. They added another piece to it through the draft. Nick Foles is not great, but you're not going to run your offense through Nick Foles. Like, he's not going to win you football games if you're having him drop back and throw the ball 45 times. Leonard Fournette, throughout his career, has better, like in terms of what he's produced when on the field, he's produced better than Melvin Gordon, better than Kareem Hunt. Leonard Fournette in his career has produced RB2 or better numbers in 71.4% of his games. The only running backs in this generation who have topped that are LeSean McCoy, Christian McCaffrey, Todd Gurley, Alvin Kamara, Arian Foster, Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, and Saquon Barkley. Like, those are elite running backs, guys that you're going to take in the first round. The best part about Fournette is that you don't have to take him in the first round. You take him in the third round, but you're getting the upside of someone that's delivering when on the field. Now, there are injury question marks. I'm not here to debate that. I get it. He's always got a soft tissue injury. I know. But the offensive line is going to be healthy. I'm not going to rank a player based on his past injury history. You have to build that into some risk. But Leonard Fournette at RB12 for me, it's crazy to think that I'm like high on him, because I could see him going up to like RB8, RB9 if I assume that he was healthy. But with the risk built in, if he's someone that's your RB2, I am excited about that, because he offers RB1 upside when he's in the lineup every single week.
I'm with you. I've got him at RB11. And it's interesting that you say this, because you were just talking about how no running back has succeeded in Jacksonville. You meant in terms of efficiency, right? Because, you know, his efficiency numbers have not been very good, but he gets so many touches and he has a nose for the end zone. So he has been productive.
Here, so Bobby, my boom bust and everything in between series that I do every year, did you know during their careers, Leonard Fournette and Alvin Kamara, RB1 numbers, Leonard Fournette, RB1 numbers, okay, 52% of the time. Alvin Kamara, 51.6%. Leonard Fournette's actually been slightly a tad better. He may not be as consistent, but I'm telling you, like, the guy has upside even when he was part of crap offenses. So again, Fournette is just...
And they do get a big offensive upgrade, and I'm not saying that Nick Foles is a huge upgrade over Blake Bortles, even though I think a lot of people think that. It's just because their offensive line is finally healthy. It was the most injured offensive line in football last year. They were playing behind second stringers, and it was ugly.
Yeah, for sure. And like, in, you're not going to have Blake Bortles stealing a couple goal line touchdowns here and there, too. So, I mean, Fournette is one of the rare occasions where you know the running back is locked into 20 touches. Like, it's hard to say that about many running backs. We can't say that about guys, you know, like Dalvin Cook. We can't say that about guys like Aaron Jones.
Barkley, Zeke, McCaffrey, maybe Melvin Gordon, Connor, Kamara. That's it. Gurley, if he's healthy.
Matthew, where are you at on Leonard Fournette entering the 2019 season? Because he's a very polarizing running back.
I have him at 16, and to be honest, listening to him, I move him up a spot or two. So you're convincing. I think I'm probably coming from perspective as I probably play too many best ball leagues, and yeah, it's probably not fair to label somebody injury prone. You could have that discussion for hours, but he does have an injury history, so I tend to kind of fade those guys a little bit and push him down. But yes, as far as just a traditional get him in your lineup, and if he's out, take somebody else in. He definitely seems to be a little bit undervalued where he's at. Definitely has that potential to be an RB1 every time he steps on the field. So yes, even if you're counting on the fact of him missing a game or two, the fact that what you're getting when he's on there puts him in a pretty undervalued category.
I like what you said about it not necessarily being a thing that you can qualify someone as injury prone. I definitely lean that direction, because you can look at Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott, who haven't had an injury history. And even guys like that, I would say that on average, if you were to simulate the season 100 times, they would miss two, maybe even three games, because that's just what running backs have done historically, starting running backs who get that many touches. And with Leonard Fournette, yeah, it may be a little bit more, but I'm just not really sure that everyone expecting him to miss 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games again. I don't think that they're going to get that.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a chance, but
for sure, there's risk with him. I just feel like anybody that you're drafting after him, I don't feel like any of them are like a total lock to be a sure thing finishes as an RB1. So why not take the guy who performs as an RB1 when he's on the field?
Yeah. Yep. I think that's a good way to put it. All right, Matthew, back to you for another running back that you think ECR is too low on.
I'm going to go with one of the rookies. I'm going to go with David Montgomery.
Yep.
Yes. ECR has him at 33. I have him at 18, which is probably a little bit higher amongst people even have him higher. You know, they traded up into the third, and there's debate about whether or not somebody performs better when traded up for or not, but there is no debate about how high the hit rate is for third round running back. So hit rate's high, he's going to be used, and people are concerned about the presence of Tariq Cohen, but he was there when Jordan Howard was there in 2017 when he finished as the number 11 running back in PPR, and that's Jordan Howard, who had like 23 receptions that year that he finished as the PPR 11. So there's definitely opportunity to be that workhorse to to get the goal line carries, but also he's a better catcher than Howard is. So I would imagine, yes, Cohen will come in, but I see Cohen coming in as kind of like a gadget player and having some packages set aside for him. So maybe him not even being on field quite as much as last year. But even if Cohen stays on the field, Montgomery still is going to be catching a lot of balls on first and second down and just staying in sometimes as well. So I could see him catching 40 balls. I could see him, you know, getting close to double-digit touchdowns and really even flirting with low-end RB1 numbers, much less being way back at ECR 33, which is just way too low. So I have him at 18, which might even be low as well. But again, I think he's got some low-end RB1 upside to him.
All right, Tags. Darius Geis is sitting there at ECR 27, ADP 24, Kenyon Drake 24 and 27, the reverse. Would you rather have either of those guys than David Montgomery? Because I wouldn't.
No, Montgomery is the choice for me. I love this one, Matthew. He was on my list as well. Seeing the ECR at RB33 makes zero sense to me. I mean, Jordan Howard last year in Matt Nagy's offense. So Nagy, you know, he's an offensive mind. He comes from the Andy Reid coaching tree. And they're going to have running backs contribute, right? And I don't want to say that David Montgomery is like a guy that's going to finish as an RB1, like, you know, as a top five running back, even though the offense should be a top 10 scoring offense. I believe that. But Tariq Cohen, you're not going to completely remove him from the field, right? But he's not a guy that you want to give 10 carries a game to. He's really not. He's an all or nothing running back. You're going to give him, you know, 3 to 5, 3 to 6 carries a game, and you're going to involve him in the passing game. Montgomery, the reason he's an upgrade over Jordan Howard, he's just as hard as a runner. He's actually a better runner than Jordan Howard. Howard is, he's a very downhill runner. He fits his own scheme very well. Montgomery is very versatile when it comes to that, but Montgomery is not as predictable when he's in the game, whereas Jordan Howard was. Jordan Howard's first year under Matt Nagy's offense finishes the RB20 in PPR formats, yet people are drafting David Montgomery, the guy that the Bears traded up in the third round for, at RB33. I mean, if you guys think Tariq Cohen is going to walk into 15 touches a game, you better start drafting him a lot higher than you are, because his current ECR is sitting down at RB26. I'm a little lower on Tariq Cohen. I'm a little bit higher on David Montgomery. So I love this call. I think David Montgomery is going to walk into a role immediately. The Bears didn't have very many draft picks this year, but they felt the need to trade up. It wasn't like Montgomery fell into their lap and they were like, you know, we can't pass up this value. He's just a good running back. They felt the need to trade up in front of a few teams in order to select him. So they obviously valued him very high. He's number one on their depth chart as far as I'm concerned.
Guys, I've got Tariq Cohen as my RB20 in half PPR, and I thought that might be a little bit low. I mean, he finished RB13 in half PPR last season. Matthew, what do you think? Where do you have Cohen ranked?
I have him at 28 in half PPR. I think you could possibly see him taking a little bit of a step back just because of the presence of Montgomery and being a better pass catcher. Again, I think he might be more effective with certain packages coming in. I think Mike said it great, just saying that he's not going to be somebody who's going to be most effective getting 10 carries, you know, half dozen carries and getting in there for half the passing down work with some specially designed plays for him is going to be the kind of sweet spot for him to keep him healthy, keep him explosive. And I think overall that might make his numbers push down a little bit. So yeah, maybe low-end RB2, high-end RB3, and PPR, which would be a disappointment because he was much higher last year. But I just think that there's going to be a nice transition of volume going Montgomery's way.
Yeah, I think that I want to piggyback on that and say that the reason I have Cohen ranked at 28, I have him at 28 as well, so you and I are locked up here. The reason I have him ranked there, I think he's going to finish better than that. I really do. I think that if you're projecting like Tariq Cohen, if he's healthy, he's going to finish as a top 20 PPR running back. That I would agree with. But at the same time, he's like the James White. You know, just because James White might finish top 20, there's guys that you're taking ahead of him that present, you know, workhorse upside. You know, you're looking for those guys. Guys like Chris Carson, you know, they come with some risk.
So like someone who could finish in the top 8.
Right, like a Philip Lindsay. Like those are the guys that you're taking over Tariq Cohen, even though it's possible that Tariq Cohen finishes ahead of those guys. You're just looking for the potential workhorse, because Tariq Cohen, you're going to rely on some bigger plays out of him, because he's not a guy that's going to get more than, you know, 8 to 12 touches per game. So you're going to need some of those explosive plays. So you're gonna have to live with the ups and downs of him like you do with someone like James White, which is why they fall further in the rankings than I think they'll probably finish.
All right, guys, so here's my next player. I'm just gonna name the top fantasy football running backs in order. Okay, you tell me who's next. Todd Gurley, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, Ezekiel Elliott. These are last year's stats. James Conner at 6, Melvin Gordon at 7. Who was number 8? Do you guys know?
Is it Mixon?
I'll give you a clue. Right now, his ADP is running back 28.
It's not Kenyon Drake.
James White, man. James White finished RB8. So when I brought up, you know, you want a workhorse running back who has the upside of being a top eight running back after you were trashing on James White. That was James White. I think he can do it again, man. It's the Patriots offense. Who do they have catching passes? Josh Gordon is a total question mark. I don't know if he's going to play. Demaryius Thomas, his career might be over. I know they signed him. They've got N'Keal Harry, who's going to have to learn the offense, and I think he's quality, but he's a little bit raw, right? James White's going to be involved a ton.
I like James White a lot more than most. And the thing is, like I said, I'm unwilling to rank him higher than guys like David Montgomery, guys like Mark Ingram, even Lamar Miller, because I just know that those guys are workhorses. I think that you're guaranteed a floor with those guys every week, whereas James White, if you're shooting for the moon, go with James White. And I think it's crazy. Every single year, people rank James White outside of the top 30 running backs. I don't have him outside the top 30, but every year they do. It's like they're trying to predict the future. It's like we always see guys come into New England that people think are going to steal targets. What do you think? Demaryius Thomas is going to walk into 100 targets and fill Gronk's role? Do you think Austin Seferian Jenkins is going to do that? Like everybody continues to try and predict, but James White continually, every single year, is involved in that offense. He has rapport with Tom Brady. That swing pass they do in the flats is just like, it's you can't stop it unless you're leaving somebody in single coverage down the field. I think James White is a fantastic guy to have as your RB3. If you draft him as an RB2, it's really rough to bounce back just like, cause like he doesn't offer you that floor that you want. He's going to have some weeks, even in PPR formats, where you're going to get 5 points out of him. And that's a little rough out of your RB2. But if someone told me that they were going to draft James White over Derrick Henry, would I fault them? No, I don't think that they would be crazy, but it's just, not where I just think that I'm looking for a more consistency out of my RB2.
So Tags, how many times do you think that James White finished with fewer than 12 half PPR fantasy points? He played 15 games last season.
Not very often last year because he finished as the RB8, as you were talking about.
Yeah, 12 out of 15 weeks, he had a dozen points. I'm a believer in James White.
Yeah, 75% of his games were RB2 or better.
Pretty good, man. Pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, you're next, Tags.
All right, so my next running back, again, David Montgomery was on my list, and I just want to piggyback on that, and I'm going to throw Josh Jacobs in that list as well. We don't need to talk about him very much, but rookie running backs that are drafted in the first round, they're going to play Josh Jacobs. It's going to happen. Now, I'm more worried about his offense and the scoring potential than I am David Montgomery, but I know Josh Jacobs is going to get the work. Like, there's legit no question about that.
Where do you have him? His ECR right now is 25. I've got him at 17.
I have an RB19, so I feel like the workload's safe. The offense is going to limit what he can actually offer in terms of upside, but again, there's going to be consistency there. But I'm going to go down and talk about Ronald Jones again. Ronald Jones, I'm going to bang this drum all offseason because I have him ranked as the RB34, and I'm not high enough. I probably should have him higher, and I'm continually slowly moving him up. It's just trying to figure out guys like Tevin Coleman and Jerick McKinnon, what's going on with that backfield. But Ronald Jones is 2019 version of Devonta Freeman, if you go back a few years. And what's crazy...
Ah, you're pushing it, man. You're making me...
I want to land this plane because there's parallels here, right? That, you know, Devonta Freeman was like one of the most inefficient running backs of all time his rookie year. Like, he was flat out awful. I remember talking with J.J. Zacharyson about it, and he basically was just like, this guy is not going to survive in the league. He's that bad. And... You know who the offensive coordinator was that year? It was Dirk Cutter. Okay, Dirk Cutter leaves to go to Tampa, and then Devonta Freeman becomes a fantasy MVP. Dirk Cutter was the coach last year for Ronald Jones. So it's like Ronald Jones, I don't know why people are willing to write him off after 30 touches in the NFL. Someone came out with a stat, I saw it on Twitter today, and I knew that was the case, but I don't need to talk about it. But he was basically hit behind the line of scrimmage on 75% of his carries that last year. So who was really going to succeed? Dirk Cutter cannot run the ball, and that's why I'm worried about Devonta Freeman. But Ronald Jones, now it's like you have Bruce Arians, right? You guys remember David Johnson last year, right? Wasn't very good. I mean, I know he finished as a top 10 running back.
Or Todd Gurley 2 years ago, right?
Right. But
how many times have we seen Todd Gurley have 30 bad carries?
Yes. And that's the thing is, like, that's the equivalent of one game for those guys. And if they have a bad game, you should not write that guy off. Now coaching matters. And it's like Bruce Arians has a history with running backs. You remember Andre Ellington? Yeah, that guy produces an RB2, RB1 at some points. I think Ronald Jones... There's a reason Tampa Bay didn't draft a running back. They have no idea what they have in Ronald Jones yet, but they're going to find out, which means he's being extremely undervalued as the current RB39. He's being drafted as the RB51. Guys, fix this. Fix this.
Yeah, I think that's stupid. Don't trash Andre Ellington. He would have been fine if he didn't hurt his foot.
He's back on the team, by the way. He's actually on the depth chart.
I'm not surprised at all. He's going to roam around for a while and have like two huge weeks out of nowhere, as always. What did he catch, 12 passes the last year before he got hurt?
Yeah.
In one game.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a role for him for sure, but he just wasn't built to be a workhorse. But Matthew, where are you at on Ronald Jones? Are you going to throw water on my fire?
I actually have him at 35, which is about where
he's at. All right.
Because he's on top of the depth chart right now. Yep. But I also have one of the other guys, Bruce Anderson, as one of my other guys. I feel ECR is too low because it's at 112. I have Bruce Anderson at 61 just because I find him interesting. If you think about Bruce Arians, and it's everyone knows he likes to throw the ball to running back, what that means is his time in Arizona, the running backs caught 22% of the receptions for Arizona. Last year, Tampa Bay running backs accounted for 16%. So pretty significant. Quiz led that with 38, Barber with 20, and Jones with just 7. People tend to think of Ronald Jones as, hey, he's a speed guy. He's got to be good in space, but that's never really been his deal. He's never been a good pass catcher. So I think Anderson has a chance of hopping in there and becoming a third down back kind of right away. He's not an elite athlete, as you'd expect, as an undrafted free agent, but he's got that clear path to it, and he also has some size. He's 210, 5'11", runs a 4.58, so pretty serviceable, and if Jones really does fall flat on his face, if he's as bad as some people think, then Anderson's somebody I want to have on my roster. Probably not in draft-only leagues. I'm not going to take him there because of that late draft capital. It might not work out, but if I'm drafting now or if I'm using a fourth rounder for my rookie drafts, I'm all over Bruce Anderson. I've gotten him in all my rookie drafts in the fourth round. I'm in the middle of my first real redraft for the year, and I'm going to target him later rounds and just kind of see what happens this preseason with him.
I like that better than Peyton Barber.
I'm changing my rankings as you're talking about this. I love the call.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it better than Peyton Barber.
Here's mine. I'm going to dive a little bit deeper. Not as deep as Anderson, but, you know, my last few have been RB1, RB2. This guy, most people consider him like an RB6 or 7. He's going to go undrafted in a lot of leagues. I'm going to be adding him in the late draft in a lot of leagues, unless we hear something different about Darrell Henderson. But I think Malcolm Brown is the immediate backup right now to Todd Gurley, and I think you want the immediate backup to Todd Gurley. I'm not saying Malcolm Brown is as good as C.J. Anderson, but we saw what C.J. Anderson did in this offense. It's all about the offense. Nobody sacks the box against the Rams. And if Malcolm Brown can find his way into 15, 18 touches with Todd Gurley out, if that does happen, I think Malcolm Brown could be an RB1, guys.
So my question on him, it's not to say that I think that it's like a terrible call, because I think he might be a handcuff, but why would they trade up to take Darrell Henderson at the top of the third round is my question. Like, I just think that Sean McVay is starting to prepare for more of a timeshare in the backfield.
I think it's entirely possible. I mean, look, I love Darrell Henderson. He's really talented, but I'm not convinced that he can be a workhorse. I think the Rams think that Malcolm Brown can be.
Where are you at on this, Matthew? Do you think that, are you on more on my side, or do you think that Bobby has something here in Malcolm Brown?
It's just so hard to follow. On one hand, you hear that Darrell Henderson could be the Kamara to Gurley, that he's going to be splitting the carries. And on the other hand, you're like, okay, well, he moved up to get him in the third round. He's got the third round draft capital. Maybe things are worse off and Gurley's not going to play at all. I mean, it's like the sky is falling kind of scenario. But then the other hand, I mean, it's an interesting question about Malcolm Brown. I mean, I think back to last year, I was real excited for John Kelly. I had stashed him everywhere. And then sure enough, it was Brown's show. And then when Brown got hurt, it was like, okay, well, we're going to bring in CJ Anderson. And it was just so disappointing. Granted, Kelly didn't have the draft capital. That's a pretty big difference, too. I think he was a good runner, but Henderson has capital. It's got the college production. So I think those are two totally different players. I think people that are discounting them, which I tend to, because of John Kelly, it's just got to realize that you got to distance yourself from that and say, hey, they're two different players. They did trade up. It could be really, the signs seem to be pointing to Henderson having a bigger role, and whether or not it's an actual timeshare, whether or not he's going to be, you know, sprinkled in every once in a while, it's that's to be determined. But I definitely don't think that you could ignore the presence of Henderson. I think that he definitely is a flyer that should be drafting in redraft. I think he definitely is somebody that could be justified taking towards the end of the first in rookie drafts. It's very interesting. It's going to be something to follow.
I think Henderson's going to end up going in the top 100 overall picks. That's a little bit too rich for me, but yeah, I could definitely see him. I mean, if Todd Gurley was to go out in the preseason and they named Darrell Henderson the starter, would you draft him in the second round, Tags? I would. What did we do with Kareem Hunt when Spencer Ware was out for the season? We drafted him in the third round.
Oh, yeah. We immediately bumped him up. I said he was the end of the second round pick.
Yeah.
The question is, do we have enough history with Sean McVay running backs? Because it's like, you know, John Kelly obviously didn't pan out because we thought John Kelly would be that guy. And because he was able to catch passes. Now, what if they move towards more of a timeshare? So the consensus on Darrell Henderson is RB 40. He's being drafted as the RB 35 right now, which is just, that's nuts. That's why.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the names behind him, man. Ronald Jones is being drafted like three rounds later. It's kind of wild. Carlos Hyde, too. He's in Andy Reid's offense and being drafted three rounds later. So, you know, the funny thing is we're all arguing about who the Rams' backup running back is going to be. And what's going to happen is Todd Gurley's going to play all 16 games, get 4,000 touches, or they're just going to sign Alex Collins and he'll be the guy.
No, they're not going to sign another running back. They have too many now.
Yeah, we thought the same thing when they, signed C.J. Anderson. Well, John Kelly's backfield or Malcolm Brown. Malcolm Brown got hurt, obviously, but...
Well, Malcolm Brown was hurt. He got hurt at the end of the year. That's the only reason they signed Anderson. I think that Brown would have been the guy. I think he would have done the same thing that C.J. Anderson did, honestly.
Maybe, yeah. All right, so let's move on to your last one, Tex, and we'll go to guys that we think ECR is just a little bit too high on.
Yeah, my last one we already talked about a little bit, Carlos Hyde. I have him as my RB40. I feel like, you know, once you get into the handcuffs, I think he's the best. And I think that you have potential for more with him. So I'm not going to rank him as a starter because, as I said, I think Damian Williams gets the nudge from the get-go. But, again, we don't know how he's going to hold up. We don't know, like, if Hyde... You know, as Matthew mentioned, if Hyde comes out in the preseason and just dominates, it's like, okay, now we have to start really thinking about that. I think he can move up. But as of right now, I don't believe in necessarily handcuffing running backs. But when it comes to high upside guys, like these are the guys you want on your bench. These are the guys that legit can walk into an RB1 role. And with Hyde, he could potentially earn the RB1 role if he outplays Damian Williams. Will it happen? Time will tell. But there's other guys that are just like Deion Lewis. Deion Lewis should not be going in front of Carlos Hyde. What's the upside with Deion Lewis in the Tennessee offense? A weekly RB4? Is that what you're looking for? I'm shooting for the ceiling. So I would much rather have Hyde than him. I'd rather have Hyde than C.J. Anderson, who's going to be behind Kerryon Johnson and just truly in a bad offense. So I just don't understand why people are just overlooking Carlos Hyde. Is you don't have to envision him as a starter. Just say he's a very valuable backup. That's basically what he is.
If you're giving me a 40% chance he's a starter, even a 20% chance he's the starter in Andy Reid's offense, that's just too much to take outside the top 30 running backs in my mind. I'd rather have him than someone like Mark Ingram, whose upside is limited, Ronald Jones, Jerick McKinnon, who at the very best is going to split the backfield with Matt Breida, and Tevin Coleman, Kenyon Drake, I don't think has much upside, Miles Sanders, we know nothing's going to happen in Philadelphia, they're always going to play 2-3 running backs and split the carries, so I would rather have Carlos Hyde, who has legitimate RB1 upside because of the offense.
I'm not with you on a lot of those guys, but I think Hyde should be valued as one of the high-end backups. I definitely think Miles Sanders belongs. I think he should be drafted ahead of Jordan Howard. I don't know what the hell.
You think there's a chance that Doug Peterson just completely changes his mind and actually gives him
no
more than 40 snaps in a game?
No, I'm not saying that, but Miles Sanders is an RB3. That'll give you RB2 weeks. Yeah, give me him all day. Like, I don't... Right now, Jordan Howard is being drafted ahead of him, and he's being ranked ahead of him in ECR, which just blows my mind. Like, Miles Sanders is the running back to own in Philly, if you want one. Again, don't rely on consistent production, because you're right, Doug Peterson's not going to change. But what I will say, they drafted this kid in the second round in a bad running back class. All right, so they obviously felt the need to upgrade the position. Jordan Howard was acquired for a 6th-round pick. They spent a 2nd-round pick on Miles Sanders. Guys, do the math. Jordan Howard cannot catch passes. He was not very good in Matt Nagy's offense, which is essentially the same thing as Doug Peterson's offense. So I think the Bears unloaded to get a 6th-round pick. I think the Eagles were like, he provides some depth. We use a lot of bodies. He knows the offense. Okay, cool. And Miles Sanders is the guy. He's not going to be consistent, but he's going to be the top running back there.
I've got Sanders RB37, so I'm fine on that, and I've got Jordan Howard at RB48, so I agree. Let's move on to guys that we think ECR is too high on, and Matthew, you're first.
All right, so we've talked a little bit about New England's backs. You know, there's always, they had their roles, and I think James White is the back to own, which means that Sony Michel is a little overrated at 17 on the ECR. I have him at 23. When you think about, offhand we say, okay, New England running backs, people are going to say, oh, timeshare, it's inconsistent, you don't know what you're going to get. That's kind of been Sony's deal. He had, 7 games out of 12, he had fewer than 8 PPR points, including weeks 13, 14, and 15, so some of the big ones. But then he was an absolute monster in the NFL playoffs. So I think people had a bad taste at him towards the end of the year, especially during fantasy playoff time. But then they watched him during the NFL playoffs. It's like, okay, this guy's a stud. He's still going to be ranked high. But then he's just been very inconsistent, in contrast with James White, who hit double-digit points 12 of 16, because he is the one that's receiving the passes. That rule's not going to change. They drafted Damian Harris in the third round. So again, you got the third-round draft capital and the hit rate with those, which was kind of puzzling that they took him, but he's still going to have a role. They're not going to use a third-round draft capital on somebody to not play him. So I'm not quite sure what Michelle's role is going to be. So he's already given up passes to White. He's already going to be potentially splitting carries with Harris. He's got an injury history of his own, and we talked about that earlier, about how maybe it's not necessarily fair to put somebody injury-prone, but his history is so extensive. So if you got torn ACL going all the way back to high school, and you've got three different knee strains resulting in missed time in college, and he's already missed three games last year in his rookie year. It's just, I don't see how the volume's going to be there. I don't see how the stats are going to accumulate to where he's going to finish any higher than 17. And I'm just going to buy James White. I'm going to buy out of that backfield.
You know, I didn't realize I was super low on Sony Michel as well, but yeah, I've got him quite a bit lower than consensus. Here's a couple guys who had more fantasy points per game last year than Sony Michel. TJ Yeldon, Austin Eckler, Adrian Peterson, Lamar Miller, Kenyon Drake hardly even played, right? Frank Gore was the starter in Miami. He had more. Isaiah Crowell, guys, played 13 games, 130 fantasy points. Sony Michel, 13 games, 135 fantasy points. I get it. He was good in the playoffs, but that's a pretty big sample size. Tags, it concerns me.
Yeah, so I was like the main cheerleader for Sony Michel last year when he was drafted, and I liked him. But the issue is that New England, there's a weird thing. I agree with you guys here. I agree with you to a certain extent, because I feel like New England has not used him to his full potential. I think Sony Michel is a better pass catcher than they've let on. He caught 7 passes last year. Like, what the hell are they doing? Sony Michel coming out of school, like, Nick Chubb was the better 1-2 down back, but you had Sony Michel, who was the better all-around back, where it's like he can get things done on third down, he could be a receiver for you out of the backfield. They didn't use him that way. He caught 7 passes in 13 games. Like, that's just not going to work. And it's really going to limit his ceiling. As a running back, he's done fantastic. He's done everything they've wanted him to do on first and second down. So I think he keeps that role. The pick of Damian Harris was like mind-blowing. We were at the draft. I saw that pick happen, and I was like, what the hell are they doing? Like, Damian Harris is essentially the running back that they're treating Sony Michel as, but Michelle's a better pass catcher than Damian Harris. Damian Harris is more of like a Mark Ingram downhill runner, going to get what you block for him, but that's kind of what Sony did for them. So I like Sony. You know, obviously you have to wonder where some of those targets go in the offense, you know, with Gronk leaving, with Chris Hogan leaving, with Cordarrelle Patterson gone, you know, there's touches to go around. It's Sony's second year in the league. So I understand why people want to draft him higher. I also understand why you guys want to back off him a little bit. I really do. But attaching yourselves to a running back from a high scoring offense is never a bad thing, especially one that just lost their top red zone option for Tom Brady. So I think Sony Michel, I'm right in line with consensus on him. I have him as my RB17. I don't think that he offers you massive upside, because as you've mentioned, James White is there and Damian Harris is behind him on the depth chart as a very, very competent running back. But I think he's fine as an RB2. But it's funny you mentioned that, you know, in regards to last year, the way they used him during the season, Mike Davis and Matt Breida gave you a better RB2 percentage than Sony Michel in PPR formats, and that's because of his lack of receiving ability. So he's one of those players where if you play in a PPR format, you'd better knock him down a few spots in your rankings.
All right, here's my first one. This is somebody that I think is going too high, and it's because of his name value. Let me ask you this before I give you my player. Let's say James Conner went to a different offense, a sub-replacement offense. Where would you draft him? Would he still be a first-round pick?
No.
Second round pick?
I mean, it depends on the offense, obviously, but James Conner is a talent. I would say James Conner is like maybe in the 10 to 15 range of running backs, 15 to 20.
Matthew, let's say that James Conner goes to the Miami Dolphins. He's the starter. Where are you taking him? Fourth, fifth round?
I'd probably still take him third if I knew he was going to get the volume, but I'm with you. I'm lower on him too.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not necessarily, I'm not lower on James Conner. That's actually not who I'm talking about. What I'm trying to say is, before Le'Veon Bell was replaced by James Conner, he had 4.0 yards per carry in the same offense. James Conner, 4.5. I get it. Le'Veon Bell's a lot more active in the passing game, and he's gotten to the end zone, but he also has taken a full year off, and he's moving to a very bad offense for running backs. Adam Gase already said it was a stupid move to sign Le'Veon Bell. Right now, he's going in the top 7 running backs. Not for me. I'm not taking him the first two rounds.
I have Le'Veon Bell at number 8 right now, and I don't feel good about it. He's someone I'm not going to end up with. I mean, like, I understand, like, you want to take running backs who are guaranteed volume, but I've said this all along, and I said this, Bobby, you can back me on this. I've said this before Adam Gase came out and is acting GM, and before he said that he didn't want to sign Le'Veon. I said that I was worried about Adam Gase.
And Bell said you couldn't pay him enough money to play in the Jets. Remember that?
I remember that too. But I'm saying is that I was worried about Adam Gase with Le'Veon Bell. I feel like there's a clash there between personalities. I didn't think it was a great fit. I don't think this offense is going to be a top 10 scoring offense. Are there targets for him to be had? Chris Herndon, you know, Jamison Crowder. They want to get Robbie Anderson the ball. Quincy Enunwa, they're going to build the offense around him. What are they doing? You don't bring in Le'Veon Bell to not use him, but at the same time, it's like I have my concerns about him and this offense overall because the offensive line sucks. It is really bad. Like, it's legit bad, that offensive line. So Le'Veon Bell has never played behind a bad offensive line in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is actually one of the top 5 offensive lines for the past 5 years. So I have concerns about him. Like, you're getting a volume running back and someone who's involved in the passing game, so
he's not going to touch the ball 420 times again, is he?
No, probably not. I mean, the defense in New York is going to be a lot better. So, I mean, that's why the thing is with me, Le'Veon, I'm not going to move him too far back because I feel like he's guaranteed volume, but I do have concerns about him, and I would probably much rather take, like, one of the high-end wide receivers. Like, I'd rather have Julio Jones on my team than Le'Veon Bell.
Me too. Matthew, what do you think? Where are you taking Le'Veon Bell?
I'm pretty much echoing what you guys are saying. I have him at 7, and I don't like it either. I think there's a big, massive tier break after 6. I have Kamara and Johnson in their own tier at 4 and 5, and then Gordon is his own tier. And after that, like I said, I'm going wide receiver. I would be going all the high-volume wide receivers as far as I would get to Bell, and it's like Bell, Mixon, Gurley. I have questions about all three of those guys. I don't particularly care for any of them at where their ADP is going to be, and it's just kind of like, I don't like Bell's situation. I don't like how the coach is handling things at this point, and I would fade him totally. But yes, I still do have him at 7 because, again, there's lots of questions beyond those first 6 backs.
I really like that you have David Johnson that high. And in fact, I thought I was really high on David Johnson. I have him at 6, but I'm looking at ECR right now. David Johnson, number 6, guys.
Yeah, I have David Johnson at 7, so I'm there. I mean, I'm not willing to take David Johnson over Todd Gurley just yet, but that could change. It could definitely change the more we see about Todd Gurley and, like, his degenerative knee issues that he has. It feels like a weird spot in the running backs where it's like if you don't get one of those top 5 guys, you're in a hard spot because I feel like you can't win a fantasy league in the first round, but you can lose it or can, you know, help lose it a lot. Ask those who drafted Le'Veon Bell last year. So Todd Gurley, I feel like he comes with a lot of risk in the first round. I don't think you should take risk on guys like that high, but it's hard ranking him below that just because you know what the potential is with Gurley.
I think with Todd Gurley, if you draft him at pick number 6 or pick number 7, you've got a 50-50 chance of making your fantasy championship. If he plays all 16 games, you're the best team in the league.
But what if they...
If he doesn't, well, you're screwed, but I'll take a 50-50 chance.
What if they move towards more of a timeshare?
Well, then that would suck, but I don't think they're going to do that, man. I mean, if Todd Gurley's healthy, you're telling me that they're not going to give him a ton of touches? He's the best running back in football. Actually, no, I'm sorry. Saquon Barkley's the best running back in football. You put Saquon Barkley on that Rams offense, he goes for like 3,000 yards. He's incredible, but it's the offense. Todd Gurley combined with the offense, yeah, he's the best fantasy asset if he plays.
Kind of an interesting time for Gurley right now, too. If you look on Twitter, you see these draft boards being posted from FFPC. Like I'm in a draft right now, and he actually went all the way to 2.7. I'm seeing some FFPC stuff where he's like at the very tail end of the second round. I think that's a great buying time. I was totally fading him in these early drafts in the first round, but now that he's sliding to the end of the second, I think that's a great buying opportunity. And all of a sudden, if because you could still grab Henderson later. I know his ADP might be a little too high, you guys are saying, but if you can get him in the end of the second and then Henderson with a 7th or 8th rounder, which is pretty rich, but you're still locking that up, I think that's a great opportunity more so. And then if all of a sudden it looks like, yeah, his knee's good to go, then you got yourself a steal. And if not, you still got Henderson as a backup at a pretty good price. So I think this is a pretty good buying opportunity for him at this point.
Man, I would love to pick at the turn and just pair Todd Gurley and Travis Kelce together. Be so pumped up if that happened.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
All right, Tags, what do you think? Who do you think is a little bit too high in the ECR?
I mentioned Devonta Freeman, but I won't talk about him again. I'll talk about Derrick Henry. I have no idea why everyone's all of a sudden like buying into this again. Like, I understand he closed out the season strong. I do get it. But he's a very game script dependent running back, and Tennessee needs to be in the lead in order for that to happen, because Derrick Henry has never caught more than 15 passes in a season. Last year he caught 13 balls in the offense he's in. So it's like a Sony Michel problem, but he's not part of a high scoring offense. Like, that's the problem, right? And, you know, Deion Lewis was paid a handsome amount of money to come in there and play some snaps. Now, again, Derrick Henry is a good running back. I do believe that he is, but I don't believe it that he's going to offer any consistency to your fantasy team. I don't believe he's going to be the reason that you win a fantasy championship, because I don't think he plays on a good enough team in general. That's my concern with him. He has to break those long runs. He's going to be, if you expect Tennessee to win the game, I think Derrick Henry's a fantastic play in DFS. But the problem is, again, he doesn't catch passes. But if they're going to lose the game, he could hurt you really bad. He could finish a game with 5 PPR points. And when you're drafting a guy at RB18, which is where his current consensus ranking is, I just feel like you should be getting someone that's a little bit more consistent than that in that spot. So me, I have him down as RB22. ADP, he's up at RB14. So it's like, no. People are drafting him over Leonard Fournette, and I think that's a massive mistake. That's the public that I'm speaking for.
That's nuts to me. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, we talked about how James White had 12 games where he had 12 points or more. Derrick Henry had 5. That's it.
Derrick Henry was down there with, in terms of consistency, Adrian Peterson was actually a better running back than him in 2018.
Holy cow. All right, Matthew, let's move on over to you for your last guy that you think the ECR is just a little bit too high on.
All right, so I will go with James Conner, which is a fairly controversial one. And I'm saying, when you're talking about too high, when you're this high in the rankings, I'm saying that the ECR right now is 9 and I'm having him at 12. Which, again, is fair. I think when you're talking about first rounders, it's a fairly big drop off. And the reason why, he's number 6 running back for 2018. And his points came from receptions and multiple touchdown games largely. So he had 9 games where he caught 4 or more passes. He had 5 multiple touchdown games. And so by having that, you're kind of assuming that this is the same thing is going to play out again the next year. So you're assuming that the offense isn't going to take a big step back and have all these opportunities for scoring with, you know, Roethlisberger being older, with Antonio Brown being gone. You're assuming that he's going to continue to have all the volume that he had the year before. When he left for 3 games, he was back in week 17 in a must-win game, and Jalen Samuels still had 8 targets. Jalen Samuels of the 172 total yard game in week 15 versus Pats. So he's shown to be productive. Who's to say he's not going to continue to have a role? I just think the 8 targets in week 17 was pretty interesting from Samuels in that regard. I drafted Benny Snell with a 4th rounder, so I wouldn't put a whole lot of stock in that. Could just be a depth pick, but still, he's 225 pounds. His MO is as of a grinder. So if he loses any goal line carries to Snell, or if he uses any late round clock grinding work to Snell, then all of a sudden you're taking yards away from there. You're taking receptions away to Samuels, and maybe a whole offense that takes a step back in general. And it's a little too rich for me at the end of the first. This is where he's going in most drafts. So again, I'd rather have those high volume wide receivers before him, which means I probably won't be owning them, which he was my guy last year. He saved most of my leagues because that's why everyone likes him so much, is because he was so cheap last year. And if you owned him, it was great because he helped you win. But not trying to be biased then, because I'm just trying to put those biases aside and say I don't really like the way things are set up for him so far this year.
You're right. Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm surprised his ADP is at 9 right now. I'm looking at Nick Chubb, whose ADP is 11. He's being drafted almost a full round later. Nick Chubb had more rushing yards, and he only started 9 games last year. Adrian Peterson had more rushing yards. James Conner had the same amount of rushing yards as Lamar Miller, just barely over Jordan Howard. James Conner wasn't that great. He was efficient, but I don't know if he's really that kind of workhorse that we have grown to expect out of Pittsburgh running backs, because they had D'Angelo Williams too. When Le'Veon Bell went down, he was getting like 25 touches a game.
Conner had an elite stretch. Like, he had a very elite stretch where he had like 5.
Yeah, like Marlon Mack. No one's super excited about Marlon Mack. He was really good last year.
I am. I like Mack. I think he's a fantastic draft pick right now.
Yeah, I like him too. He's being drafted ADP running back 20 right now.
That's nuts. I have him at RB 13, I think.
Me too. That's where ECR has him, by the way.
Yeah, the upside with Mack is like you're getting a legit guy, a guy that has top 6 upside. I believe that Mack comes with that. But James Conner, I like the call here just because it's like, you know, Jalen Samuels obviously ate into some of that receiving work. And, you know, Benny Snell, you don't draft him in the 4th round like if you're not a little concerned about the guy in front of him. And I know they lost Le'Veon Bell, but they never really had him, right? But James Conner, you watched as the season went on. Like, I watched all of his games, and James Conner wore down. Like, he legit, like, he was just beaten down at the end of the year, and he was dropping passes that were, like, uncharacteristic. It may have cost them actually games with how bad he was in the passing game towards the end of the year, and it was just almost like he was just beat. And you didn't see him top 65 rushing yards after week 9. So, you know, he did take a turn for the worse. Again, this offense probably is going to take a step back. Losing Antonio Brown, losing Le'Veon Bell, it's not going to help the team at all. It's not going to make the offense suddenly get better. So I am worried about, like, the scoring opportunities. I don't know if they're going to be as heavy as they have been in the past. So, yeah, James Conner, again, he's probably someone that falls into that range where I'd rather take an elite wide receiver than take James Conner.
All right, Tags, why don't you go next?
No, we talked about a few of these guys, like Jordan Howard I mentioned already, but another one that I'm still shocked that he's going as the RB34 in drafts, the ECR's RB35, is LeSean McCoy. I think it's more likely that LeSean McCoy is cut than LeSean McCoy finishes as a top 30 running back this year. Like, go back to last year and just, like, watch him. He just looked like someone that was done. And it's not like this is a team that they improved their offensive line dramatically. They changed their offense. You know, it's the same coaching staff. It's the same quarterback. You know, and LeSean McCoy last year, he produced RB2 numbers 21% of the time. That's it. That's it. Three times in 14 games did he produce RB2 or better numbers. That's terrible, okay? They added some receiving options there. They added running backs. You know, TJ Yeldon is probably better at this point in his career. Frank Gore is there. They're going to give him carries. They drafted Devin Singletary. I think it's possible that LeSean McCoy gets cut, and that might be the best thing for his fantasy value because he needs to get out of Buffalo, and maybe he goes back to Philly. I don't know, but they traded for Jordan Howard and drafted Miles Sanders, I don't think that's happening, but the best thing for LeSean McCoy would be for him to get cut from that team so he could sign somewhere else, because as of right now, I think the consensus, the public and ADP, I believe everybody's just way too high on LeSean McCoy right now.
Yeah, I think so as well. I was going to say Damian Williams. We already talked about him quite a bit later. So the guy that I want to talk about is Devonta Freeman. He only played 2 games last year, and while he played, he was fine, but I'm not so convinced that he's going to come back from this knee issue and be the same type of player he used to be. Ito Smith is still there. I think this Falcons offense is more geared towards the passing game than it is the running game back when Shanahan was there. What do you guys think?
I hate Dirk Cutter, so we've already established that.
Devonta Freeman right now is being drafted as the RB16. By the way, Chris Carson is all the way back at RB26. I'd rather have Chris Carson by a ton over Devonta Freeman.
I know why you want to tie yourself to that offense. I really do get it. I mean, I get it. Like, Atlanta's going to be a good offense. They really are. But I don't know. Dirk Cutter has just never produced running backs. Like, he just hasn't. I'm not excited about Devonta Freeman at all. Like, is it low-end RB2? Okay. But RB16, ugh.
Over-under on touches, 225 for Freeman.
Over. I'd say over on that.
Oh, you would? Okay. Matthew, what do you think about Freeman?
I have him at 22. And again, I think similar to what you guys are saying, I don't hate it. I'm not super excited about him. I think he'll get a few catches, yeah, and he's just not going to be emphasized. And I think 16 is too rich. And if you draft him as your RB2, if you can get him to drop, great. But I think he's still going early third, which is too much for me. So I would agree he's probably a little bit too high, both in ECR and in ADP on most sites.
He's going before Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, I've got him at 22 as well. So we're right there.
Yeah, the last one I want to mention, though, I want to make sure we get this on here, is that I've been advocating it, and I've been telling Bobby, don't do it, is Kareem Hunt. Don't draft him.
Too late. Already drafted him. All my best ball leagues.
I have him as my RB54. ADP right now is RB29. Are you guys kidding?
Oh, that's stupid. I've got him at 39. Wow.
No.
I thought I was high on him.
Kareem Hunt not only is not the best running back on his team, but he's not playing the first 8 games. Don't draft Kareem Hunt. Like, don't do it. Just don't.
Holy cow, why is he being drafted that high?
Because people believe that he's going to steal the job from Nick Chubb, the guy who the Browns drafted at the top of the second round, the guy that rushed for like 1,000 yards in like 9 games. Like, I don't know. Matthew, do you have any clue why people are drafting Kareem Hunt?
I don't know. They like to keep someone on their bench for 8 games, apparently, or
yep,
put him in best ball leagues where they get 0 points from him for 8 games. But I mean, Chubb's shown that he's good. Duke, I wish he would have been gone and jettisoned to Tampa Bay and become more fantasy relevant, but he's still going to catch passes. He's still a nice backup. So I have him at 62, right behind my guy, Bruce Anderson. I'd rather take the flyer on him. And if he doesn't work out, then, you know, come get Hunt in week 5 or 6 when the people get tired of holding on to him, cut him, and then pick him up later and pull for some in-year production. But yeah, I'd rather not mess with him.
Something I really like to look at is ADP compared to ECR. And when the public is a lot higher on a player than the experts are, I think that's pretty telling. Right now, Kareem Hunt's at ADP 33, ECR 50. And by the way, the opposite of that, somebody that we haven't mentioned once all offseason tags, Kenneth Dixon, ADP running back 73, ECR 52. I guess there's some people who think that Kenneth Dixon is still going to have a role in the Ravens offense.
He might be cut. I kind of wish he would, just because I'd like to see him go elsewhere.
Justice Hill season, baby.
There's a lot of running backs in that backfield now.
All right, guys, that's all for today's show. I want to say thanks to the sponsor of today's show, pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. And make sure to sign up for our Juju Smith-Schuster helmet giveaway at fantasypros.com/contest. For Mike Tagliere and Matthew Hill, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.